Backseat Producers, episode number 251, Fooly Cooly. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
And this is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
I've never read the trivia for this, which is astounding to me. Because I read the trivia for everything.
All right, before
every
we get started...
Adrian's car is destroyed.
Yeah.
There's only six
episodes. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Before we get started, next week, Goodfellas. Well, next episode, because there'll probably be a space in between. But Goodfellas and then...
Looper.
So, Fooly Cooly, Furry Curry, FLCL.
I hate this show.
Whoa.
Not really. I love
You're
this
show. You're a hater. Haters gotta hate.
Listen, I paid the $90 to have this goddamn show.
Wow. I'm assuming you saw it first before you did that? You bought it sight unseen?
I bought it sight unseen.
That makes me feel a little better.
Why?
Because I would have never paid that for this.
Really?
Really.
Oh, Tony, you're breaking my heart.
Yeah, it's going to break a little more.
No, it's not.
So.
It just means that it's going to get a good cardiovascular workout telling you how wrong you are.
All right. Daryl, what did you think? Since I think these two sides are established.
Yeah. This is going to be one of the scariest animes ever made. Outside maybe of Dragon Half, but that's even a shorter one, only three episodes. But this one at least has a beginning, middle, and an end. I enjoy it. I remember seeing it when it first came out on Cartoon Network some years back, and it made absolutely no fucking sense then. It still doesn't make a whole lot of sense even now, although if you have a chance to watch it a few times, it starts to gel up a lot better. But a single sitting watching this, you'll be terribly confused.
I think I was really only confused for about the first half of the first episode.
Because you don't know where it's going.
Yeah, well, there's so many weird elements that are coming into play. Like it's like a big conglomeration of cool stuff that they just kind of threw all together and kind of hoped that it was going to work. Well, and some of it did.
Well,
and then there were other parts that.
If you're a fan of anime, you'll recognize a lot of the tropes thrown in. If you're coming into this cold, not knowing anything about anime, manga, Japanese culture, anything about it, you're going to be kind of lost for a little while until you kind of figure out who's doing what to whom and what it all means.
There is a certain beer element to it, where there's an acquired anime taste that brings a level of enjoyment to it. But bear in mind as we talk about this, think of it this way. Naota is Japan.
Not only just Japan, he's Japan early 2000s.
He's Japan, and then all the other characters are various influences from other countries as Japan moves into the current century and can't decide what it wants to be.
That's fair.
Yeah, you can look at it that way. There's a social political element there.
That was part of the thing, and I was like, oh, son of a bitch, it's so good.
You could look at it that way, too. You could also look at it as a typical just coming-of-age story for how confusing it is for a 12-year-old kid who's sort of lost his anchor in his world and is trying to adjust to growing up and becoming an adult.
I love the coming-of-age story, although I think they pop their wad halfway through, and then like the last three episodes are really awkward with him.
Well, it's meant to be.
As soon as he swings the bat, then it goes downhill. Because then he gets really confident and cocky, and then it kind of falls apart then.
Well, it's supposed to. It's the whole thing. He's got this sudden burst of confidence, and he finds out, granted, I got the confidence, I can now talk to the girl, I can tell her how I feel, and And the reaction is, it doesn't work out the way he planned. I mean, that's the way the life is. It's never very, there is no real, always a happy ending. Sometimes it's the only ending, only the ending is the only thing you get.
I got the sense that he wanted to be angsty. Like,
he's
like,
trying to be.
Yes. Like I'm going to brood because I think I'm cool when I do it.
It was a parody of the typical anime protagonist.
Yes, the angsty hero.
But he can't.
It's a parody of emo culture.
It's a parody of a lot of cultures. Yes,
I mean, there's a lot there that it's parodying. I mean, I don't have the benefit of much anime. Not much at all.
That's to me. But, I think the anime references are silly. I don't.
They're meant to be. I mean, they just throw them in there just to off balance.
In jokes, never really do it for me.
Well, again, they're there just to off balance the viewer. And if he knows, you know, what they're referencing and the end joke is, it's a little ha ha ha. Yeah, that makes sense. But otherwise, it's just there.
So what's weird about this anime is how overtly sexual it is.
Oh God,
yes.
Well, and that is there is a lot of anime where they like fade to black or cut away and they make like oblique references, but this one is like not very subtle about it at all.
It's not very subtle, and a lot of it is really juvenile.
Yes.
And I think that's what I disliked about it the most.
Juvenile sexual humor, Tony? What?
It wasn't funny. It was like, you're telling me, screaming
when she pulls the little guitar out of his head and she's like, oh, this is little.
That, and when the robot grabs the panties and he's like trying to put them back on her. That was funny.
Or when she creates the sex robot of his dad.
The dad.
I like where the cord, they place the cord. Yeah, it's kind of clever.
The ridiculously over-the-top horny dad bugged me because I thought, I got the impression that she was closer in age to the boy.
No.
But there, I mean, I know that after the fact.
17 or 18. She's of legal banging age.
Yeah.
No, Hanako's a lot older than that. I mean,
well,
Noda is only 12.
Yeah.
And Samji's 17. So,
I don't know. It's
well, it's a whole thing of his relationship with these older, supposedly older women.
It seemed unsavory. Well, that's just, like you and Chloe Moretz unsavory.
First off, well, the thing is about Hanako is she tries to set herself up as the older sister.
Yeah.
And in Japanese culture, the older sister, younger brother thing has a kind of an interesting cultural aspect to it.
Well, I don't know. It seems like a penthouse letter.
No, like, no, it's not like that. It's just that, you know, the older sister is supposed to be the responsible one, the one you can, someone you can go to and unload your feelings that you can't talk to your parents about. I mean, supposed to be your anchor.
Your confessor.
Yeah, well, be your anchor in your life. You know, someone you can kind of look up to at a younger age.
I gotcha.
Hanako sets herself up there quite a bit. She sleeps in the upper bunk. She teases him terribly. She just all over him all the time, always teasing him physically and emotionally and mentally. And he sits there and tries to ignore her. I mean, his favorite comeback is, you know, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He tries to be this Iron Man on the outside, trying not to let people get to him. But, you know, he's got this whole swirling chaos of Hanako, his father, his relationship with Samji, which is he finds annoying, his loss of the loss of his brother, which he's terribly mourning because he confesses that at one point when Hanako sort of disappears, he cries on her shoulder and says, "You left without saying anything." I kind of get that's what he was really saying is, you know, to his brother, is you left without saying anything or telling him goodbye. And he's still mourning that quite a bit.
I love Takun's relationship with just about everybody. I love that.
I wanted to punch him in the face 3 or 4 times throughout the series.
Why?
Because I just found him annoying.
Why?
I can't put my finger on it.
He's a whiny 12-year-old. I mean,
I don't actually find him that whiny. I think that everybody else in his life is being unreasonable. And he's like, What is
the other people?
What's the big deal?
Like, he has to be the adult, but he doesn't know what that means. So in the end, he's stuck with all these confusing. Like, he's growing things out of his head.
Yeah, that and was.
So he actually has a legitimate problem, and he has no one he can talk to about this because every relationship he has is broken. The thing that they never mention his mother.
Yes,
and she becomes his mother. Actually, it's a weird thing. Like, Conti almost becomes his mother more than anything else, which is pretty awesome because Lord Conti is the man. But so, like, I don't think that he's being whiny. I think he's being reasonable. Hey,
I don't think
I'm sprouting robots from my head.
I think,
and I keep getting hit with the guitar.
The interesting thing is that the story is told from his perspective. Like, everything's told from his perspective, and he seems to be the most reasonable one, but just because he only sees his own perspective on things, even though if you look at his actions from other people's perspectives, he looks like a whiny little douchebag who's kind of mopey and grumpy even before things start sprouting out of his head.
Oh, he is, because the first opening line is, you know, nothing interesting ever happens here.
Yeah.
I mean, hold on. You've just been run over by an alien woman on a motorcycle. You have this giant flat iron sitting in the middle of your city.
Congratulations, he's every kid ever.
Yeah.
I'm bored.
Yes. Yeah. Like, everything's going on around him, and he's totally oblivious to it.
Yeah. You spent the last 3 hours watching television. The 2 hours before that, you spent playing the Xbox. Before that, you were playing video games on your...
You were texting all over the place, yeah.
And now I've made you step away from that for 2 minutes. I'm bored.
Yes. Knocked you over your little bubble there.
Yeah, and that's, he's a 12-year-old kid. I mean, they were great in capturing that, but it was annoying. I was just annoyed by that.
I was annoyed by that.
It's supposed to be. I mean, by the end of the series, you just wish to hell he would just figure this out. I mean, everything's sitting there in his hands, and he still just doesn't get it, except towards the very, very last closing element of the movie.
Which element?
Well, he's standing there. They're in their new uniforms. He's taking a drink, and he's talking to the other girl, and he's slowly starting to figure this out, that she asked him, ask him about the type of drinks he likes. And he's slowly starting to get it that this is maybe not so bad. I mean, things are maybe what happened was different. But again, his closing line, the closing line is, you know, this is a town where nothing exciting ever happens. Come on, what just happened in the last few days or weeks?
It happens before that. I think it happens when.
But every relationship is realigned. Hatako's gone. Samji's now gone. His relationship with this other girl and him is a lot stronger. She's kind of reconciled with her parents. All this chaos is seen suddenly drained away.
Her story was great, by the way.
Oh yeah, I mean, at one point I thought she was the more interesting character. She's essentially a mirror image of him, but she actually handles all of this adversity a lot better than he does.
Well, welcome to most anime.
Yeah.
The side characters are almost always more interesting than the main characters. Eyebrows.
Well, also, one of them was a weird...
Eyebrows.
Yeah. Eyebrows. One of the interesting things also in this film is just all the different elements they throw in. You know, they start off as full motion animation. Then they'll drop into manga stills. And then they'll drop back into the full motion again, and then they'll take another different style. I mean, every episode is a slightly different style element in there, even borrowing from South Park at some point.
Yeah, there was one point it was like, holy shit, that is South Park.
Yeah,
that is exactly South Park.
I mean, it could have been an episode just lifted totally out of South Park.
It's like, is that Kenny? Because that really looks like Kenny right now. And that one looks like Cartman. What is going on?
It's released in 2002?
99. Or 2001. 2001. I actually liked how they threw in those stylized elements, that it wasn't just one style. Mm-hmm. Like when things started getting manic, if a character started freaking out about something, the style went just crazy along with the characters. Mm. And I thought that was cool.
And then they they turn around towards the end and then break the fourth wall about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you see the elements arching off to the side of the thing. I thought we would not use the manga element ever again.
Yeah.
And there goes the manga.
It was too expensive. Yes. Stop doing it. But then the fans felt betrayed.
They love to break the fourth wall on this thing all the time. I mean, even the characters will even turn to face the camera
again
to address the audience.
There were parts of this that I really did enjoy, and those were the parts that I really liked. I liked the parts where they went into manga style and things just went crazy for like 20 seconds.
Right, just to emphasize the total manic energy that's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the things I dug about the style about this. So they approached it with the idea that they can do whatever they wanted with it. Mm-hmm. So in every scene when they have somebody talking and they're trying to convey emotion, they just go so overboard with the emotion. When she's saying, like, even subtly manipulative things, they always have her in, like, the most evil position they can have her in, where she's, like, strumming a guitar, she's got this evil grin in her face.
That one guy's eyebrows, they just keep getting, like, there are times that his eyebrows are, like, three quarters of his head.
That is seaweed.
I read that trivia now.
Yes, so did I. Last episode where they're standing on the hand, he's like, "You took off your eyebrows."
Now it gets serious.
Didn't I warn you about her? I actually dug that romance because he was so obstinate for the first four episodes, and then after he swings the bat and hits the satellite, like that next episode, the chick is like so moping about his brother. And he is so incensed. He's like, I just saved this town. And he is so incensed that he has to prove himself to her. So then that happens, and then no, it doesn't go anywhere. And so finally, in the end, he tells What's-Her-Face that he loves her. And then that goes nowhere, which is why I think that his real advancement and rejection of being an adult is when she said, "Do you want to come with me?" And he doesn't say anything. And then she's like, "Oh, you're still just a kid." And then she leaves. Mm-hmm. That's when I think he actually grows as a person. He's like, maybe I'm not an adult.
Well, he finally realizes, I'm 12 years old. I'm not an adult yet. I've tried all this stuff, and I just keep getting pushed back and reminded, hey, you're still 12 years old. So I guess
I'd watch a sequel with him trying to find her after he's grown up. I'd watch that sequel.
I think it would be cool because she's traveled. Which one?
How to?
That's the one that
Haruko,
the Vespa girl.
Yeah, that's right. Haruko.
Yeah, I paid attention to the characters. It's like reading a fantasy novel. It's like, I'm just gonna call you Steve from now on because your elven name is ridiculous. The first two letters of your elven name are ST, so you are now Steve.
She is the representation of Italy and Europe. Everything that is absolutely foreign to Japan.
Interesting.
The mayor's daughter is the representation of traditional high-class Japanese society.
I can see that.
And Mamimi is America. Lord Conti is the establishment of technology as a replacement and a subversion of traditional Japanese culture after World War II. Like after we bombed Pearl Harbor and we occupied and we brought them American cartoons and electronics and all that kind of business.
Yeah, when we bombed out all their factories so they had to build from scratch so they had a better industrial complex than we did.
Yes.
Because it was all brand new.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but they also paid attention to all the efficiency experts we ignored for umpteen years.
Well, they also took a completely different tactic in how they did how they ran their factories. I did a paper on Sony in college, and that was like back when they were still like
nobody, I heard you were a slaver, yeah.
Nobody could touch Sony's electronics. At that point.
That is not true anymore.
No, it is not true anymore. That is no longer factual.
Things change.
Yeah, so
Tony, I still walk around saying, swing the bat.
I can see that now. And I can see why.
Swing the bat. That is one of my favorite episodes of anything ever.
So, what you were saying earlier, though, I could see a sequel where he is aged
in some fashion.
Yeah, maybe to another one of those turning points in life, you know, because it was the puberty turning point in his life, and that 12-year-old teenager.
Yeah, he's on that threshold.
And I can see them doing that where...
Limial.
Limial. I'm not familiar with that.
Well, that is a word that means threshold.
Okay.
I believe.
I've learned something new. I did not know
that. Let me make sure that's true, but go ahead. I'm pretty sure that's true.
Yeah, I could see like that point when you're in your 20s, late 20s, early 30s, where it's like, oh, I really do have to be a grown-up now.
You know? Transitional yes. state.
Yeah, and that's the perfect time for her to come back around.
I don't think so. I think what I would want to see is maybe the tail end of that, and then like the first episode, you kind of get a sense that he's been this way for a while, and then maybe the last 5 minutes, he's like, okay, like, don't even say that it's a sequel to Fooly Cooly, but in the end, I'm Nauta, and I'm going to go find Haruko, and then he leaves, and then goes into space and does something.
Yeah.
In fact, I wouldn't even want it in the same style. I want it, like, real slow and dramatic, like, legitimate. And even when he found her...
It should be. It should be, because that would follow the style of being at that age.
Yeah.
That you take things much more seriously. That things, even if people panic and freak out, it's... It doesn't affect you as much.
Well, you can step back and kind of step back from the whole thing and kind of watch what goes on and think, I'm not really a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Tony, I hate puns. Mm-hmm. But I loved all the visual puns in this. Like with the iron and ironing out the wrinkles of the brain.
That was crazy.
The gunfighter.
The hand is reaching for the iron to iron out the wrinkles in the brain. It's like, what? What is going on?
And the iron would steam every once in a while.
I mean, the crazy thing about this is, as insane as this seems, and as seemingly fractured and obtuse as the whole thing is,
it's very tight.
It tells you everything that's going on. After the first half episode, I didn't get lost. I thought things were manic sometimes, but I wasn't lost. I was very clear on what was happening because they told you.
Yeah.
They didn't obfuscate anything.
Detail, yeah. Tell you.
Sometimes too much detail. But fortunately, being the episodes are fairly short and so fast, you don't tend to get bogged down in a storyline too much.
Yeah.
Because each story is self-contained, although it does form an arc.
Yeah. Toward the end, I don't think each episode's as self-contained because it's driving toward that ending.
Yeah. But
the first two or three, yeah.
Well, that's mostly the first two set up the whole universe that he's functioning in and introduce the characters.
Yeah, especially the first one.
Now, one interesting thing, too, is this whole story is about relationships towards the end. But it's also, we find out, you know, that Haruko's own relationship is just as insane as all the others because she's been trying to pursue Atomus all this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody assumes that she's in love with him, or she just wants to eat him.
Well, she wants his power.
Yeah.
She wants his NO channel. But it's sort of an unrequited love that she constantly pursues him for this. Because the one guy tells her, you know, tells Noted at some at the about the fourth episode, you know, that Atomus was someone she had captured and he had managed to escape her. And ever since then, she's been after him because... She wants this particular NO power.
That means sex.
Well, whatever it is. I mean, she wants it, and she doesn't care about who she hurts or who she destroys to get it. She tells everybody that, I don't care. It's just like
she wants him to pluck her G-string.
Mm-hmm.
Ding, dun, dun, dun.
Speaking of that, they seem to be very... The art on the guitars was seemingly very accurate.
Yeah,
like painstakingly. There was one scene like in his room where the guitar was in the foreground, and I just looked at it and was like, man, I paused it because it was like that guitar looks awesome.
Yeah, they're important.
Yeah,
it's power too.
Like everything else in the scene, the guitar was so detailed and precise. I mean,
they're the physical manifestation of everybody's soul in the show.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I dug that. When he pulls out those two guitars at the end, I was like, oh,
his flying V and his Gibson EB06.
Let's go out and get the same girl pregnant.
Yes, I like Hatikos. It's the pull starter on it. Built-in power source. All
right. Most important question. What does furikuri mean?
Tell me.
Come on.
We're furikuring all over the place. Furi and kuri?
Furikuri. That was crazy.
It's so ridiculous. I love his dad. I don't care. I don't care that it's weird, and I don't care that she turns him into a sex doll and then leaves him to die in a cupboard. I think I was dead for a while. I don't care that he has erectile dysfunction. The world is the best because of that guy.
I can actually see, if that was live action, you could almost see that guy just being like really Jack Black kind of creepy.
Yeah. Having a
not Jack Black.
Crispin Glover.
A cross between Crispin Glover and Zach Galifianakis.
Like that dead-eyed stare.
Yeah.
Fish eyes.
Yes, it's annoying to have a parent that's more immature than you are. And loves it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of a trope, though. And
I know. Like it's a trope, and yes, in anime that the parents are typically more dysfunctional than the children are.
The thing is, for as dysfunctional as he seemed to be, he was a very consistent character.
Yes.
There was no inconsistencies in that character.
That's why I find the Emperor so awesome. He's the only character in the prequels who has any passion. He's fucking evil, and he loves it.
That guy's fucking horny, and he loves it.
He loves it. He loves it, and the thing
and he
is,
loves tormenting his kid about it.
He loves tormenting his kid about it with his father. Both of them. When he's dressed up as Lupin.
Yes. Yes, the monkey sensei.
He's like, what are you wearing? Oh, you don't like the red one? Should I put on the blue one? You don't like the castle Cagliostro? Excellent. That was the best reference. I watched most of the Lupin series. It was so good. Because it was so ridiculous. Not as bad. Not as ridiculous as there was an anime called Master Keaton where the commercial was he's like an accomplished scholar, a loving father, and so it just keeps going on for all these world class martial artists. It just keeps going. And so the end tagline is Jack of all trades, master of them all. It was the most ridiculous thing ever. That's the most ridiculous tagline I've heard in the anime so far. You should watch. You know what I loved about this? Music was good too.
Oh yes, the music is
that damn,
breaks all the molds. Yeah.
That damn riff they play during all the battle sequences. Mm-hmm. I have had that going through my head for the last 2 days straight.
That's the worst.
It just keeps going through my head.
Yes, most of the music was composed by a group called the Pillows.
Yeah, the earworm of that is it's solid. It's tight. And it worked because I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah. It was like a good high school movie. It's got that real, indie rock soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Like Juno.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, at the time, this was an indie rock group. They were not known hardly at all.
Still don't know who they are, so they're not known.
They had a pretty good run after it was introduced in the United States. They became somewhat very popular. And to tell you the truth, some of the trivia comments were that they were unknown in Japan until this anime came out. Then they shot to superstardom.
That sounds racist. That's what I thought.
Yep. But hey, they did well. This thing did well by them.
To be honest, this is probably the third best soundtrack for an anime I've seen. And I don't know which is I find better. Samurai Champloo or Bebop, because Bebop has an incredible soundtrack.
Well, yeah, considering you got one of the most killer composers ever creating the whole thing.
Yeah, and Bebop is really... Bebop as an animation and a story is fantastic, but they really built that anime around the soundtrack instead of the other way around,
yes. Pretty every intense. Element of the soundtrack works perfect.
Champloo is different. The music isn't as good, but it's better integrated into the story. Like the rapping feudal Japan.
Mm. So the alternative history one.
I don't like rap. So
it's not really rap.
Well, let's say it's a hip hop.
It's hip hop.
That's not selling me on it anymore.
Well,
it works. Chompu's really good.
I just added it to my Netflix
queue. You should watch
it. It's worth a watch.
First off, it's like 24 episodes.
26.
26 episodes. If you can't get past the first episode, is a good template for all the rest of it. Although I'm a big fan of long form, like the Japanese anime series is like the perfect length for me. It's like 26 episodes of a half hour show, and then about midway through they usually pick up on a meta plot that they carry on through the end. Like Trigun is a good example. It's like a Wild West story set on this post-apocalyptic future.
Well, it's not a post-apocalyptic. It's a
spoiler.
Don't ruin it for me.
That's a spoiler. Because you just assume that it's a Wild West.
Well, this way, it has the elements of the Wild West. But until you watch the whole series, you figure out, hey, it's not the Wild West. It's a frontier world.
Yeah. And that was something that, like, I dug in this. They told a lot of the story without telling a lot of the story. Like, Naota's mom is gone, and they don't really talk about it. But it's clear that he has some intense abandonment issues.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's lost the two most important people in his life.
And he's trying to bang so many chicks and not getting anywhere.
That's
what
problem.
My life was like at 12.
What's funny is that he thinks he's trying, but he's flat out ignoring the one chick that is, like, throwing herself at him.
Mamimi?
No, not Mamimi. But the other one is. The mayor's daughter.
She doesn't come show up till later. Mamimi's, like, all over him,
though. Mamimi is, like, a tease,
though.
She's,
climbing on him. Oh, yeah, she's a tease. But he's not reacting to that at all.
Because he knows she keeps calling him by his brother's name. She's only bouncing off, using him to satisfy her needs because his brother's drop dumped her. She just won't move on.
First off, I'm trying to get into that kind of arrangement with a lot of people. Like, that's the idea. Like, that's what you're looking for.
So you need someone to fill the gap in your life. I'm right here. Yeah.
So this is what boys feel like on the inside. She's in that bunny suit flying around with a guitar. What is happening?
That's another anime trope gets thrown in there.
Bunny suit.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff that happens throughout.
This is one of the first anime series I bought. Actually, Trigun was, I think, the first. And I don't regret buying that at all. But yeah, that's your cute too, Tony.
I tried. It's not out there.
Really? I've got the box set. I'll bring it out here. That's one you can watch with Holden?
Maybe.
Because the main character is a pacifist.
Mm. He tries to think he is.
He is. Mm. Yeah, maybe you can't watch that one with Holden.
Well, there are many episodes you could.
There are many episodes you can. But when it's not that way, it's not that way. It turns quick.
Like violent or sexual?
Yeah, no,
but it's very violent at points at where he...
It's not like cartoon violence either. Like it's like up close and personal and murder. Not killing, murder. Straight murder. Which is actually pretty good.
Yes, for a guy who...
That's fine for adults.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, this thing is, the Trigun plays with your head a lot. It tries to introduce, the play of the protagonist as this goofy pacifist and whatever things, and everything he does, he tries to stay out of trouble, but the trouble just finds him, and he has to react to it. Not always in the best of ways.
Tony, I got a question for you. Are you current on Walking Dead?
Yes.
How terrible was that last episode?
I didn't think it was terrible.
It was expected. I kind of expected a lot of it, just because they're trying to mirror it. But they can't mirror some things because what they've done already.
Let me ask you.
What's funny is that there was like that expectation that Merle was going to be the governor. And because
that would have been awesome.
I had that expectation at the beginning of before the season started. Like when we knew we were getting to that point, I'm like, oh, they've established that Merle's alive. Yeah. They're bringing the actor back. They had already announced they were bringing the actor back.
Oh,
and we knew that the governor was going to play a role. And we know that he doesn't have a hand. you don't have to have the governor lose his hand as part of that. So you could have that all carry through, and then they bring that other guy in who doesn't look or act like the governor in the comic books at all. He's a lot more creepy.
The head thing was dumb. I was like,
this. That was in the comic book.
The head thing was
that was stupid. Dumb.
Was it? I don't remember that.
It was there. Well, that was in the book. The kid was in the book.
So what I don't like is that they're like, let's find the source of the play thing. You're missing the point of the story. No one investigates the zombie thing. They just accept it as a reality. So that's broken. And here's the thing. So at the end of season two, they have to the last episode when they're on the farm and the horde mm-hmm. attacks, they have to show you where the horde comes from in Atlanta and follow it all the way to the farm. You know why they do that? Because they haven't shown enough zombies on the show, so they have to remind you that they're there.
Yep.
And that is terrible storytelling.
You don't need that. Yeah, that's the point.
This should be the constant looming threat, and we should just all accept that. Like, when I see a zombie, I don't need to know where it comes from. There's 6 billion people on the planet.
The things that people complained about Battlestar Galactica, the people that complain about not enough fighting in hockey, and the people that complain that there's not enough zombies in Walking Dead are three types of people that are just wrong.
Yeah, that is not the point.
That's not the point of each thing that you're doing. There's not enough. Oh, there's not enough space battles in Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, you're wrong.
That's not what it's about. No, shut up.
Wrong.
When they have a space battle, it's for a reason.
Yeah, that's what makes the space battle good.
Right. It's not like the old series where you had one at the end of every episode just because
want that.
You're trying to be Star Wars.
Yeah. First off, if they were going to have a space battle just to have a space battle, they would put sound in space, and they don't for a reason.
Yeah.
Because it's very they intentionally take the sound out to let you know that they're thinking about why they're doing this. That's why they've done it.
Yep.
And
hockey is not about fighting. It's about scoring goals.
Yeah.
Same thing. Walking Dead is not about running from zombies. It's about surviving in that world. And you don't have to have zombies in your face in every episode to survive the world.
Actually,
in
fact, the other people are more dangerous than the zombies are.
They've proven that. And they use that. Yeah. That's just it. Yeah, they kind of do that, but then they have to throw zombies in there too. Yeah.
It's like that's not where the tension comes from. The tension comes from the fact, okay, I have tense situations in a dangerous situation. That's where the tension comes from. Normal, tense situations in this horrible world.
Yep.
If you want to build a really tense season of The Walking Dead, go 4 episodes where nothing bad happens.
Mm-hmm.
Those will be the worst 4 episodes ever because you're like, okay, when's it coming?
And people start getting happy.
Yeah!
And they sit around and laugh and joke.
Yeah, they clear out the prison. They build a farm. So now they've got like this home thing. It's coming.
And then you advance the story like a month every episode.
Yeah.
So it's like a long period of time.
Yeah, so like crops are growing. And like they've really cleaned the prison. The prison's real nice. Like a nice place to live. You know it's coming. And it's going to be horrible when it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be terrible. That's what I want from the show. I want something horrible.
I did like to see Tyrese in there.
That's because they killed one black guy.
I know.
And had to replace
they
him.
They had to, well.
They have a quota.
They killed off the guy that they replaced Tyrese with. And yes. now they've replaced that guy with Tyrese.
Yes. I'm actually okay with that.
I am too because Tyrese in that episode showed more character than T-Dog showed ever.
Yeah, well, he had more lines, that's for sure.
That's true.
I am upset that Tyrese and Michonne are not going to be banging.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, because I don't think she's long for this series.
I'm not sure how they're going to...
I was really unhappy, because I got real excited when she was wrestling around with the governor. I was like, oh,
it's going to happen.
Pay attention, this is going to be good! And then she stabs him in the eye and then leaves. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Well, because, and then they had him almost rape Maggie.
Yeah, and I was like, what?
They should have actually done it. I said, and Julie's like, oh, they're not going to do that. I said, oh, no, this is more horrible than anything because Michonne was bad because it was Michonne. Maggie's bad because she's with Glenn.
Yeah.
It's, that's, and that's, if he rapes her, that's terrible.
Yeah. I don't know. It's and Melina's like, so what did you expect to happen? I'm like, she's supposed to carve this dude like a turkey. And like, this dude is supposed to be broken afterwards because he's been raping her. And she is pissed. Oh.
That's where he loses his hand.
Yeah. I'm like, this is... There should be a lot of things. Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Yep.
Was like, hey,
Rick should have got his hand out. I mean, the way it happened in the book, Rick got his hand cut off before that, even.
Yeah.
Because Rick got captured.
Yeah.
But they've completely changed
it. Yeah, I don't know where they're going with it. Like, it's just not.
I'm actually okay with the fact that they're changing so much. And you know what? If they leave the governor without an eye instead of without a hand, I'm okay with that because Merle's already the one handed man. I'm okay.
So I'm all one-handed characters.
I do love the knife.
Turn it to a blade.
That's
that was good.
Cool. That's very cool.
I'm fine with that.
And then I'm like, well, the eye thing makes sense. And Julie's like, well, it's not his hand. I said, it's easier to put an eye patch on somebody than to
CGI out. Yeah, because the thing with Merle, it's like you can tell that he's wearing like a tube over. It's not very good at all.
And that's fine.
I'm okay with that because I like Merle. I like Merle and I like Daryl.
Yeah.
Like, Melina's like, if they kill Daryl, I'm going to stop watching. I'm like, they're not going to kill Daryl.
They'll kill Merle before they kill Daryl.
Yeah. Merle's atonement's going to be he's going to die to save Daryl in the ring. That's what's going to happen. Which I'm actually okay with it.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that'll actually be pretty cool.
This season wasn't great.
It got much better.
But it was a whole lot. This season as a whole was better than any previous season.
I don't
season.
Know if there was like a... Maybe there was a cast change or something that really saved the season mid-season. It's not good, but it got better.
I'm just wondering who's going to die by the hands of the serial killer guy.
What serial killer guy?
So in the series, or in the...
The last the book, graphic the last novel. Comic I read... was Rick running away with Carl and the baby.
Okay.
That's where I stopped.
Okay.
Reading. Yeah.
With Carl and the baby?
Yeah. Wait, after the governor attacks the prison with the tank.
There was no baby to run away with.
He's got it in his hand.
Mm-mm. Lori had it in her hands.
Oh, that's right. The baby. Oh, that's right.
Lori had the baby in her hands.
That's right. No.
Before that, so you'd actually read this. Before that, when they were all in the prison, because... The group in the prison was much bigger in the comic book than it was because Dale was still around.
Dale was still alive.
The kids were still around. Mm-hmm.
Tyrese, Michonne. Michonne was around for a while.
Right.
Lori was still there, and then they had a bunch of other people.
Yeah. So when they brought the prisoners in, the guy who I'm assuming it's the one white guy that was one of the prisoners.
He turned out
that he was a serial killer, and he ended up killing the kids. Like in one of the prison cells.
I can't remember this.
Yeah,
but sure.
But that's how they got rid of the kids. Mm. Other than Carl.
Carl. I don't know. It's just not.
I think the show's actually gotten a lot better this season.
It has gotten better. It was Jesus. That farm was so bad.
That was rough.
That farm was so bad, and the thing about that, the farm was terrible. And I like Herschel.
Yeah.
Herschel, bearded Herschel is awesome. Herschel.
Herschel is turning into the character that Dale kind of turned into in the comic
book. Yeah, like an awesome old guy.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, let's just break out the guns and just go for it.
Yeah, I'm fine with who Herschel turned into.
Yeah. Herschel's cool.
Yeah. And Daryl, thank God for Daryl. Jeez, I couldn't deal with not Daryl.
I honestly liked the last thing that they did with Carl in this last episode where they meet Tyrese and his group and he locks him in and he's like, you're going to be safe here. We've got food. I'm like, well, you can't do this. It's like, I just did.
Yeah, tough. Deal with it. Oh, what? Okay, so this is confusing to me, and I have no idea why this happened. They're in the firefight at the end of the episode, and then Rick sees Shane. What?
Yeah.
What is happening?
I don't know why they did that.
That is one of the dumbest things you've done. Like, I'm already engaged in a story. You're starting another non-story. That story is done. Move on.
Yeah, that didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Now,
stop it. Don't do that.
The telephone thing was something you hadn't gotten to yet.
Oh, did that actually happen?
That actually happened.
In the comic?
Oh. It worked better because it was always Lori, and he had, like, they had already left the prison,
mm-hmm.
and he had that phone. They were hanging out at, like, this shack, and the phone rang, and he's talking to her. And then he realizes the phone's not plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just carries it around in his backpack. He keeps having conversations with her for like many issues. He secretly pulls out the phone and talks to her.
Yeah,
so that was actually pretty good.
That's what I want from the show is I want people to do terrible things because they're desperate, and I want me to feel conflicted about it. Like, one, I think that's funny, but two, I think that's profoundly sad.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I really pity Rick in those books, but in this, I don't feel anything for anybody except for Daryl, because he makes good, reasonable decisions.
I feel for Daryl and I feel for Carl, but mostly because
Daryl, you feel for Carl, like you don't feel for him as a person. You feel for him like those.
It's sad that he has to do this at this age and he doesn't get to just
right. Be yeah, like a it's kid. Like it has nothing to do with him.
No,
it's just the situation.
You feel
for the situation,
but
like it's like a donation thing for like starving kids in Africa where you're like, man, I feel bad for those kids who are starving in Africa, but I don't know their names and
they're not here.
It's a superficial feel bad.
Daryl has the advantage as a character. He doesn't have to be a leader. He can free to do what
Daryl is the leader.
Carl is the leader.
Herschel's cut off leg is the leader. Zombie leg. I guess you're right. Daryl really doesn't have any responsibility.
Well, that gives him the freedom.
Except
to,
that he's
to do
probably
what
the best father that the show has seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Since he is the first person to talk to Carl about having to shoot his mother.
That was a pretty great scene between the two of those two.
Well, see, that's the thing.
Oh, you got me beat.
Yeah.
Rick is too busy trying to be the leader and trying to keep everything together to pay attention to what's going on around him.
Rick goes off for almost a full episode by himself,
mm-hmm,
and talks to a phone to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it symbolizes even the hardest rocks will break under pressure.
No, it's just
the laziest asshole will be the laziest asshole. I hate Rick. I want to feel like he's making bad decisions because he has no other choice. That's what I want to feel. But instead, I feel like he's making bad decisions because he's too stupid to realize that he has other options. And I think that is a fundamental failure of writing.
If they want to make Rick this kind of leader, the kind of leader that they think they're making him,
mm-hmm,
they need to give him somebody like Laura Roslin from Battlestar.
Mm.
They need a strong woman, probably a woman, and really a strong pacifist type character that says, you don't need to fucking put bullets in people's heads every time they disagree with you. There is a better way.
Yeah, Dale tried to do that, and the way that they handled the Dale thing by having him killed in such a mundane, random way is completely indicative of the way that they feel about drama. Whenever there's a complicated character moment, we'll just randomly kill him and make the problem go away.
Yeah.
That's not how you handle it.
Really, the best character that they have right now in the show that could do that is Herschel. And it makes sense for the character.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, yeah, he's the perfect person for that. But the problem with that is that he's already been converted. Like, he was so not that way on the farm.
He could have been that way.
Yeah, and that's the shitty thing about the show. Like, Herschel's transformation from who he was on the farm to who he is at the prison is an awesome story that you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
All of that happens off camera in the 8 months they're traveling around in a circle and somehow miss the prison every time. Seriously, on the highway, they're under the prison. Like, you see the lights, and then 8 months pass because then Lori is, like, ready to give birth.
Yeah.
How do they not make it to the prison? It's right there. They can see it the next morning. Logistically, I hate this show.
But you keep watching.
And conceptually. Yeah, I keep watching. It's kind of like Dexter. I don't like Dexter anymore, but every once in a while the episodes are really good.
If they continue the improvement that they made this season, and if it maintains or improves at the pace that it improved this year, they could have a decent show.
It'll be like the Bluths. It'll be upgraded to a don't buy.
Yeah. I know you don't like the show, but Sons of Anarchy.
It's gotten so bad.
What?
It's so bad.
Oh my god, you don't know what you're talking about.
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
This
every time I watch that show,
phenomenal.
I'm like, I can't watch. Like, first off, Jax looks like Rob Justice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So every time I look at him, I'm like, why is Rob Justice riding a motorcycle? Why is Rob Justice hunting down this black guy? Why is Rob Justice the leader of a biker gang? And mostly that's like 95% of my problems with the show.
That's fair.
Why is Rob Justice married to this smoking hot doctor chick? Why is Rob Justice fighting Ron Perlman?
Why is Rob Justice fighting Hellboy?
Every time he shows up on the screen, it's like, I'm like, ah, it's like I just see, it's like his balls just hit me in the face. Why is Rob Justice doing this every time?
Yeah, between he is a weird amalgam between JD and Jax.
Mm-hmm. He really is.
Rob Justice is.
Mm-hmm. If JD could grow like decent facial hair.
That's not even decent facial.
let's be like honest. A face merkin. But see now, so I don't like that aspect of it. Just I can't get past the Rob Justice factor. How he looks.
That's fair. I got you there.
But Ron Perlman is a fantastic actor.
Yes.
Katie Sagal is a fantastic actress.
Yes.
She is so good.
Yeah, she deserves.
I don't know why she hasn't won awards.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
To me, that's staggering.
This season, if she doesn't win, if Jimmy Smits doesn't win,
Jimmy Smits is pretty good too.
He was great this year. Oh, he was really good.
Yeah.
Even Harold Perrineau. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He was the guy. He was the guy in Lost.
Walt Michael.
Yes. Yeah, he was Michael in Lost. He played Pope. This season in Sons of Anarchy.
Usually when I come home on Wednesdays, Melina's watching it.
He was good. They could have gotten anybody to do that, but he did it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Nobody in the show is as good as Ron Perlman and Katie Sagal. The two of them are just fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know why they haven't won awards.
No.
Actually, I know why Ron Perlman hasn't won an award. It's because goddamn Bryan Cranston wins every year.
Well, yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you can't.
Ron Perlman is great. Bryan Cranston is so much better.
Yeah, the only thing Ron Perlman's got going for him is that Sons of Anarchy will outlive Breaking Bad, so he might have a chance that
last
year.
That is true.
He might.
Did you see, do you follow Aaron Paul?
Yeah, I didn't see anything from him recently. I haven't been really on Twitter much.
They started shooting the final half of the season, and he's like, oh yeah, shooting our final season, and like he took a picture of the script where his hands were covering everything, but like it just says Jesse and then comma bitch. Like, it's so good.
That's great. That's good. Yeah, that show needs to see some more Emmy.
Breaking
awards.
Bad? Emmy
Love. No,
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
I'm saying, wow, Breaking Bad's gonna end, so it's gonna get its opportunity.
Oh yeah, they're gonna. They should get a few more.
Yeah. Goddamn, Breaking Bad.
This starts in March?
Yeah. Walt.
All right. I got nothing else.
Yep. Me neither. I'm lost in a methamphetamine.
Haze.
Tony, Christmas. 20 days.
It's getting there. Getting there quick.
By the way.
Unless Julie cancels it because the children haven't cleaned the playroom.
Oh. Tell them I'll take their presents. Tell them I'll take their presents.
That too.
Man, Melina got her Christmas cards, and I won't spoil what they are because she will murder me. But she's like, you're going to love them. They're pretty good. They're pretty good. She does something okay. She does something reasonably clever, and then she did something really clever.
Is this something she made?
Yes, she had it specifically custom made.
Nice. Very good.
It's when you get it in the mail, and it should, I don't know, it'll be here soon. It's, I would never tell her that she did a good job on this, but she did a good job on this. This is an acceptable, like, the bad parts are bad, but the good parts are so good.
All right. Next week. Goodfellas. Well, next time, Goodfellas.
Man, I can't wait to get to my car.
See you next week.